This past fall semester, our daughter Anna, as many of you know, took the semester off of school and did some traveling, went over to China, and also blessed her mother and me by spending a little extra time in our house. One of the things that Anna likes to do is to read. And not just to read, but to read aloud to us. And we enjoy that too. She read a book to us. I think Kim had maybe already read the book, but the book was called Love Does. Love Does. Very simple title. A very interesting book, I might add, of a number of chapters recounting events in the life of the author, which were very interesting. And the whole premise of the book is that love is not just a feeling. Love is not even just an attitude. Love is action. Love does. Love is busy. Love is doing. Well, tonight we would like to have somewhat the same thought about a different topic, and that's the topic of wisdom. And that wisdom does. Sometimes we think about wisdom as something that we want to gain, and it is, and something that is internal and mental and spiritual, and it is. But it doesn't stop there, because we're going to see and we're going to look tonight at the first four chapters of Proverbs. I'm going to ask you to turn there in your Bible, if you will, and follow along with us tonight as we consider together this topic that wisdom does. Wisdom is not lazy. Wisdom is not inactive. Wisdom is not something to put on a certificate that you have wisdom and then put that certificate inside of a frame and sit it on the wall somewhere or on a desk. That's not what wisdom is about. Wisdom does. Wisdom acts. We've already seen in our first two studies on the book of Proverbs, we looked at those introductory verses, verses 1 through 7, and we saw there that it's what seems to be the real key to wisdom is found in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Another place in the book of Proverbs and also in Psalms, we see that not only is the fear of the Lord, the right attitude toward God, not only is that the beginning of knowledge, but also the beginning of wisdom. And of course, here in verse 7, we have the contrast between knowledge, the parallel between knowledge and wisdom and instruction. Those merging together, the importance of a proper attitude toward God. And we've also seen in our introductory remarks that wisdom is practical for everyday life. And so what we're going to do this evening, we're going to do a little flyover. We're going to fly over four chapters of Proverbs. And we're just going to kind of get a bird's eye view and look down. And in each of those chapters, we want to see a key activity of wisdom, what wisdom does, and what wisdom does, by the way, we want to apply that to our own lives, because what wisdom does, God desires that it do that for us in our own lives, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And then we'd like to, for each one of those, we'd also like to make an application to the fact that not only does wisdom do for us, but God desires that wisdom do through us. That we not only experience God's wisdom, but we also act out in our lives in wisdom so that other people's lives are touched. And very likely the way that God will touch our lives through wisdom often involves other people. Not always, but many times God's wisdom will come to us through the lives of others. And we want our lives to be lives that are active in the area of wisdom as well as in the area of love. And of course, those should come together very nicely when our lives reflect the Lord Jesus. because he is wisdom and he is love and he is so much more even than those things. So as we do a flyover, obviously we're not going to get real detailed, though we're going to read quite a bit, but we're not going to be able to expound all of this. But my hope is that it will tickle your taste buds and that you will desire to do some deeper reading and deeper studying on your own in the application of these things. Of course, we're in the section of Proverbs where we can do a little bit more of a thematic study. Of course, after we get to about chapter 10, we find out that's where we get into those parallels in the verses where it's got a couple of sentences or a couple of phrases, and then he moves on to the next subject and then back and forth, and we'll address those when we get there. But at this point, we're still kind of looking at a big picture idea of the whole theme of wisdom, which is the theme of Proverbs that we are looking at. So first of all, as we think about wisdom does, we're going to consider in chapter 1 what wisdom does. And here we're going to see, first of all, in chapter 1, and we will start particularly or specifically at verse 8, since we've already covered the first seven verses, which are introductory. We're going to start at verse 8 and go through the end of the chapter. And there we're going to see that wisdom warns. Now you see in this picture, if it's pretty clear, it's an old drawing, so I'm not sure how clear it is up there, but this is not a modern day, but a more modern day rendition in the author's time, or in the artist's time, of the very thought of wisdom that we have here in chapter 1. Now, we're also going to see this really brought out, expounded more in chapter 8. When we get to chapter 8, we're really going to see, you see the lady standing there on the table. And if you notice here in verse 20 of our passage, we read, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words." So there you can see what the artist has drawn. Back in probably in England, somewhere in Great Britain more than likely, but maybe in the United States of America at a certain time. But you see the lady who is the personification of wisdom. And we see that that's what Solomon does in verse 20. He calls wisdom a she. Hey, ladies, that make you feel pretty good tonight? You glad you came out, right? Because you got to hear that God says wisdom is a woman. All right, that's pretty good. Well, folly's a woman too. I'll just go ahead and mention that just in case you're getting too high and mighty, all right? So, but wisdom is personified, given human characteristics and attributes, and is presented as a woman who, somewhat like this woman is doing, she's standing outside, she's elevated, and she's calling out to the people around her. Wisdom warns. And wisdom warns here, particularly of consequences. Now, if we went back to verse 8, which let's go back to verse 8, we see there Solomon begins his direct address, and he says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." Parental instruction wears well, particularly when it is godly. Not everyone has had a godly father and or mother. Most people in this world have not had that blessing. If you have, as I have, then you are greatly blessed. And we know that with that great blessing, there is also a great responsibility. But then the question might be, did I listen? Did I listen? And am I listening even now? Because what my father taught me and my mother taught me when I was a child, when I was a young person, those truths are still valid today in my life if they came from the Word of God. Am I listening now to what was told then? Am I hearing today the instruction of my father? Am I not forsaking tonight the law of my mother. What about you? Did you listen? Are you listening now? Will you listen? Because even if you did not have a godly mother or a godly father, you know, God is so gracious, isn't he? He's a father of the fatherless. And he's the spiritual father of the spiritual fatherless. And God is so faithful and so good to make sure that he brings into our lives the people that we need. The spiritual surrogate parents that we need. And sometimes those surrogate parents may be younger than we are, and yet in the Lord they are able to come alongside and help us and to instruct us and to teach us. It's so important. And wisdom stands and cries out a warning for the consequences of not doing what Solomon instructs us to do right here. To hear and not forsake. And if we don't hear, we won't listen. Or we forsake, we can expect consequences. And that's the warning. It's interesting to me as we get to verse 20, verses 10 through 19. A very interesting to me way for Solomon by the Spirit of God to begin his direct address. And he says there in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." You know, I can't read that without hearing the voice of a Scotsman. Back when I was a teenager at a youth retreat, William McNeil, we called him Billy McNeil. And I remember him saying, "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." That's my best Scottish accent, I'm sorry. I know it might have sounded Mexican, I don't know. I don't do too well with accents, but I'm trying. He called, I remember that still rings in my ears. But you know what struck me here? Here's Solomon speaking to his son. His son, now his son's dad was the richest guy in the world. So, I mean, he had everything he wanted. And look at what he's telling his son. "If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause." And he goes on, verse 13. "We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil." I'm thinking, Solomon, son, you don't have room in your house for spoil. And yet, his father, knowing human nature, addressed his own son. And began his warnings with these very words. The enticement of sinners. And the enticement of sinners particularly here to greed and violence. You know what? We all have a desperately wicked heart. I think probably I look around and I think everyone in this room professes to be saved. If you're saved, And maybe you aren't. Maybe you don't profess to be, or maybe you profess and you aren't. But if you're saved, you might say, "Well, hey, I don't have to worry about this. I don't need those verses because I have the Spirit of God living within me." That's true. But you also have the flesh, and you're living in it. And you know, there are many people today who had godly testimonies, and they fail. They failed. They got involved in something they never would have believed. And they probably sat in a meeting and they might have heard something like, "If sinners entice you, do not consent." And they thought, "I don't need that." They needed it worse than they thought they did. You see, we're all just one step. David said, "I'm one step from death." And I think we're one step from falling into gross sin. And we need to be careful. And Paul says, if you think you're strong, if you think you stand, you better watch out. Because Satan is going like a roaring lion, and he would love to devour you and to devour me. He would love to do that. We need to be on guard. We need to take these things seriously. We need to be wise. We don't know how close we are to being smacked in the face by a temptation that we never envisioned. We have no clue if there's a circumstance right around the corner that will threaten the whole way that we view the world and God. We don't know what's ahead. We need to be careful. We need to be on guard. Traps are being set without and within. And here's this woman wisdom calling out loudly. She is warning ahead of time. She's saying, if you don't listen to me, notice what she says in verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? We spoke of the simple ones over in our introductory remarks, those who were naive. And she says, how long are you going to continue in that? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. She addresses the scorners. She addresses the fools. And she says, turn at my rebuke. There's the warning. Look at verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Okay, here's the warning. If that's the way you're going to respond to the wisdom of God, well, wisdom says, I will also laugh at your calamity. Not because it's funny. Not because it's humorous. But rather, I will mock when your terror comes. In other words, you had your opportunity. I warned you. And you would not listen. You disdained. You disdained wisdom. And terror is coming. Destruction's coming. Distress is coming. Anguish is around the corner. Verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge. And notice, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. It's a choice that each of us have to make every day. Every day. And I know I'm not speaking to the youth group primarily. There are some young people in here. I know I'm speaking to those of us who are older and older in the faith. Many of us are. But we need to be on guard. We need to listen to woman wisdom. She is calling out loudly. She says, this is a fork in the road. What are you going to do when you hear wisdom calling? Calling through the Word, calling through fellow believers, calling by the leading of the Holy Spirit. A failure to listen and respond has consequences. Look at verse 31. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. In other words, we're going to get what we chose. We're going to get what we chose. We see that on a national level. We see that on an individual level. We get what we choose. And what we choose, we see in verse 32, will end up being destruction. So how do we deal with that? Well, first of all, we listen, verse 33. But whoever listens to me, the woman cries out, the woman wisdom, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Woman wisdom is calling out. She's not saying there won't be any problems in your life. But she's saying you are going to be avoiding the difficulties that would not be necessary to come had you listened to me. She says, listen, my hands are outstretched. I am sending forth my counsel. I am rebuking when you are not attending to the voice of God through the Scriptures. Listen to me. And then as we saw in verse 29, not only listen, but respond by choosing the fear of the Lord. Choosing the fear of the Lord. It's a choice to make on a daily basis. Will I see God as He reveals Himself in His Word? And will the reality of His holiness and righteousness and the wonder of His love and His grace, will that compel me to be obedient to Him and listen to His wisdom? I always think of wisdom as looking ahead and making a choice now based on future results. That's wisdom. Now, I can't see the total future, but I can look at the Word of God and I can learn something about the future results, the future consequences of choices that I make today. I must see them through the light of who God is. So the question for us is this: are you heeding wisdom's warning to you? I don't know what wisdom's warning to you is. I don't know what area of your life it may be that God is seeking to prick your heart or punch you right in the chest? I don't know. I can only look at my own heart, my own life. Is God speaking to you? Is He calling you through the voice of wisdom, saying, you know what you're doing is unwise. Sinners are enticing you. The sinner may be within, as well as the sinner being without. What choice will we make? Are we hearing? Are we listening? Are we responding positively? We're responding, but are we responding with the fear of the Lord? And then that last question, how can wisdom warn others through you? How can we be used in the lives of others to share the danger of refusing God's invitation? That we might share from our own experience, that we might share from the experience of the many people whose lives are recorded, or portions of their lives are recorded in the Word of God, the impact of failing to listen to wisdom and choose the fear of the Lord. Choose to respond knowing that God is who He claims to be and declares Himself to be. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Now, I do think we have to be careful and earn the right. I don't think we need to walk up to everybody on the street and necessarily grab them and say, you know, I'm warning you about the consequences of not choosing the fear of the Lord. Now, if the Lord leads you to do that, then maybe He wants you to do it, and maybe you'll shake me, you know, but and that's okay. But especially those people in your life that you have a relationship with, what an opportunity to share with them, to be God's vehicle. And as we soak our minds with the book of Proverbs, I think that we're even more prepared to do that. Wisdom warns, but that's not all that wisdom does. Wisdom warns, but in chapter 2, we see that wisdom delivers. Wisdom delivers. Now, I don't know what you think about that. Maybe you see, when you hear that, maybe you see the Domino's delivery man at your door. Domino's delivers. Or do you need a pizza? Well, call Domino's. Well, or the U.S. Postal Service, they got it right on the side of the truck. We deliver for you. They're bringing something to you. Well, that's not the kind of deliverance that we're seeing here. As we go into chapter 2, let's just look here at a couple of quick verses to get us started. Notice down in, let's see, in verse 10. Well, first of all, just notice in verse 1, my son, if you receive my words. You'll notice through these first chapters over and over, my son, he's speaking to his child as a loving, caring, experienced, wise father. Notice verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from, look at verse 16, to deliver you from. We notice that wisdom has the ability to deliver, to rescue us, first of all, in verses 12 to 15, from the evil man, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Now, Solomon had never been to the United States of America. But you read that and you think, well, he sure knew about the people that live around me and the people that I work with. And yeah, he had a pretty good idea about our society. Of course he did. He was writing by the Spirit of God. And he says, we need deliverance. We need rescue because there are people around us with perverse tongues, tongues that do not speak the truth, whose feet are wandering far away from what God says. We see it in our newspaper. We see it on the internet. We see it on the news every day. Those things are promoted. Those people with a twisted heart. He said the evil man has a twisted heart that is not after God. And we need to be rescued because those people are hammering away at us day by day, and they're not beating on us with a gigantic sledgehammer. No, they're just coming against us with a soft thing that we can't even hardly feel, and it just gradually is working on our thinking. And then in verses 16 to 20, there's the immoral woman. Wisdom, and when it enters your heart, he says in verse 10, when wisdom comes in, when you embrace wisdom, wisdom is active. It will deliver you from the evil man. It will deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress. Notice what the seductress does. In my Bible, the New King James is very handy. They three verbs starting with the letter F. From the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. A nice little outline for the alliterating preacher right there. Three F's. She flatters, she forsakes, she forgets. And her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. As we go on and we get to chapter 5, we'll see that Solomon will develop this warning even more so. And we'll look at that as we get to that point. Down in verses 21 and 22, we have somewhat of a summary of this whole chapter. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth. Now, as you look at that, don't stop and think, well, you know, I'm blameless. I don't have any wickedness in me. Well, you know, in reality, we're all wicked. Our hearts are deceitful, but we've been made new by the Lord Jesus. But we've got to continue to trust Him. We've got to continue to grow. We've got to continue to yield ourselves to the Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in us and through us and shape us to be more like the Lord Jesus. Because if we're not doing that, we're going to be setting ourselves up to be positionally upright, but practically wicked. That can happen. That's not God's desire. A position of uprightness before God, righteous in God's sight, and yet living in ways that are unrighteous. That's not wisdom. But wisdom is there to deliver us from that. So what do we do? How do we respond to that? Well, let's go back more to the beginning of the chapter. Notice there in verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, treasure the word of God. Value the word of God. Notice down in verse 5. Well, let's just keep reading there because this is important. Verse 2, it's all important, but it's important to our thought. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding, and He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. And here we see a person who is longing, who values the wisdom of God, who values the wisdom of God found in His Word, in wise counsel that is given based on His Word. And that person is seeking to listen and to open up his or her heart, and even to cry out, Lord, I desire discernment in my life, verse 3. I want understanding from you. And they realize the importance of that, and they go seeking for like silver and searching for as hidden treasures. Have I ever looked that hard for God's wisdom? Have you ever sought God's wisdom like you would be seeking? If I told you before I came in tonight, I buried out in the yard of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel a jar with $1 million in it. Half of you would get up and leave right now if you believe me. The other half would be saying, would he hurry up and finish? I've got to get out there before it gets dark. How hard would you seek? Would you search for that? For those hidden treasures, are we seeking, are we valuing the wisdom of God like that? Do we treasure it? And then if we do, you see, the search is a result of truly valuing. And if I say I value the wisdom of God and I don't search for the wisdom of God, how much do I really value the wisdom of God? I value it plenty up here, but not in my heart. Because if I really value it, I'm going to search for it. I'm going to see the necessity. I'm going to want to avoid the consequences. I've been warned about that. I'm going to want to the deliverance. I live among people of unclean lips, like Isaiah said. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and so am I. And we have people all around us, and we need to be rescued. One day, praise God, we'll be rescued out of here, but we don't know when that will be, and we need to live a holy life while we are here. And so we need to be rescued from falling prey to that mindset, that thinking of the world. Not only the actions, but the attitudes of the world. Am I truly searching the Word of God, desiring His wisdom? Are you experiencing wisdom's deliverance in your life? I feel sure we could go around the room and everybody could give an example of a time when God's wisdom did deliver you and rescue you. I think we can. I hope we can. But you know, you might stop and think, how long has it been since I've seen that in my life? How close am I getting to the precipice, to the evil man or the immoral woman? Wisdom delivers. And how can wisdom deliver others through you? As you grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you mature in the things of God, God desires that you impact the lives of others who are younger than you, possibly, or maybe who are older than you, even in the Lord. Because you know, sometimes as we get older in the Lord, we can also get lulled into passivity. Maybe God is wanting you to be the one who was there at just the right time to speak truth to the ears, to the heart, to the mind of a fellow believer who has gotten right near the edge. Maybe you don't even know they're near the edge. But you want to speak the wisdom of God through the Scriptures and speak of the beauties of the Lord Jesus as well as the dangers of going away from Him. Oh, the fear of the Lord. The Lord Himself is the key. Wisdom delivers. So wisdom warns in chapter 1. Wisdom delivers in chapter 2. In chapter 3, wisdom blesses. Wisdom blesses. Oh, the blessings. Notice chapter 3. First of all, down in verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Not happy is the man who gets rich, or the man who gets the highest position in the company. Now, that person may be happy too, but that's not what God promotes. Verse 14, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. You want the true blessing of God? You need to seek the wisdom of God. Notice verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. They are the blessings of God. Notice one other verse. Verse 33. Verse 33. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the just. He blesses the home of the just. You see, those blessings, we're not going to read all the verses. We read part of them. They're in verses 13 to 18. We have verses about the blessing of happiness, a true joy that comes from God. And then in verses 32 to 35, we have, as we read summarized there in verse 33, He blesses the blessings of God. And both blessing sections, if you mark those off, 13 to 18 and then 32 to 35, and then you back up from each of those, both of those blessing sections are preceded by instruction sections
instruction sections. We find in verses 1 through 12 what our response should be in a positive way, and I am just going to summarize that as trust. Trust this God who I recognize as He truly is, as far as I can understand, as He's revealed Himself in the Bible. The positive, you know this verse so well, verse 5 of chapter 3, close your eyes and it'll come right to your mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. The positive, trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in Him. As you seek to go forward in life, and we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and nobody can take those away from us, but we surely can be in situations where we're not enjoying those blessings. We're not appropriating them in our lives. They're there. We have the blessing of peace. We're not always peaceful. It's not God's fault. It's not because He took it away. It's because we weren't appropriating it. Wisdom. When we are seeking God's wisdom in His Word and in His Son, we will experience blessing. But that begins with trusting and acknowledging Him, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And here's the blessing. He will direct your paths. We need that direction. We need to know Him and recognize who He is. He's trustworthy. He's knowledgeable. He knows all about our situations. He's loving and He's powerful. He can do what we need to have done. Look at verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I turn that around to a positive. Be humble before the Lord, because that displays faith. When you yield up your rights to Him, you are displaying that you are trusting God. And then verse 9. Honor the Lord. When I give to God what He has given to me and I give it back to Him, then I am showing that I trust Him, that He's going to take care of me, and that I can't outgive God. Verse 11 speaks of accepting the chastening of the Lord. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. Why? Because that evidences that I am trusting God. When I accept, when I embrace His discipline in my life, I know that He has a good purpose. So that's the positive. And then there's the negative in the sense of what I'm not to do. And some of those were presented in a do not manner, but I presented them more in a positive manner, trusting God. But in verses 19 to 31, obviously won't have time to look at all of those, but let me just mention several. In verse 21, in verse 21 of chapter 3, don't let the wisdom and knowledge of God depart from your eyes. Be careful not to let it get away from you. Verse 25, don't be afraid of sudden terror, because you're trusting God. You're believing in Him. That's wisdom, following Him. Verses 27 and 28, don't withhold good from those to whom it is due. Think about your relationship with other people. Verse 29, don't devise evil. That may seem wise in the eyes of the world, but it's not wise in the eyes of God. Verse 30, don't strive without a cause. Verse 31, don't envy the oppressor. Why? Because you're trusting God. You're saying, I'm going to resist the temptation. That's not wise. That's not going to bring me into the enjoyment or the blessings of God. And so the question is, are you enjoying the blessing of wisdom? If we don't trust God, we're not going to enjoy the blessing of wisdom. If we're going our own way, if we're coming up with our own good ideas, we're not going to enjoy the blessing of wisdom. If we're not resisting the temptation to find our blessing by getting something over on someone else or stepping on their head that I might get to where I want to be, I'm not going to enjoy the blessing of God, the blessing of wisdom. And then how can wisdom bless others through you? God wants to use the wisdom that He is providing for you in the Word and in the practical application of His Word by the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters in Christ filled with the Holy Spirit, He wants to use you and that wisdom to bless other people in your life by your example. Can people look at you and learn how to trust God? If somebody could really get into your life and really look at the way that you live and the way you make decisions, would they learn to trust in the Lord with all their heart and not lean into their own understanding? That should be what we're modeling. We can pray wisely for the blessing of others. We can share wise counsel for the blessing of others. One more thing that wisdom does, and that's in chapter 4, and it's that wisdom protects. Wisdom protects. Some of you probably saw the movie Blindside. Maybe you read the book, or maybe you heard about it. But it's the story of Michael Orr, who actually is the left tackle for the Carolina Panthers at this time, played in the Super Bowl. But he was basically homeless, living in the housing projects at times and then wandering the streets of Memphis when this family took him in. And he was a big fella. He loved basketball. He was learning to play football. But they couldn't find the right position for him, and they had him on the offensive line. And then one day, at least in the movie, his adoptive mother came out on the field and she said, "Michael, you see that quarterback? That's me. You see that running back? That's your little brother. You see this other running back? That's your sister." You see, she realized that Michael had scored on a test. He scored in the 98th percentile in protective instincts. That was the way he was wired. And when he found out, when he started thinking about those players as his family, nobody's going to get to his family. Nobody's going to get past Big Michael. And he had those protective instincts. Well, you know what? Wisdom. Wisdom scored in the 100th percentile in protective instincts. Wisdom protects. You know, I like this as we start out verse chapter 4. "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father." But he doesn't stop there. Notice in verse 3, "When I was my father's son, tender and only one in the sight of my mother, he also talked to me and said to me." Well, here's a grandparent teaching through a parent. We think when we raise our children, we're concerned about the impact on them. You know what? They're going to learn a lot from us about raising their children. How important it is as parents and grandparents. But notice verse 6. Notice verse 6. "Do not forsake her." That's wisdom and understanding in verse 5. "Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. She will protect you." Because there are a lot of dangers out there. Yes, she'll deliver you, as we saw in chapter 2, but she will also protect you. Wow, what a blessing. She'll protect you. So, we've got to hurry up here. In verses 4 through 9, we need to watch what we're pursuing. If we want wisdom to protect us, we've got to watch what we're pursuing. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Verse 7, "Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding." Get into the Word of God every day. Allow the Spirit of God to teach you. Get with others who can encourage you and instruct you and challenge you. We need to watch what we're pursuing. What are you pursuing? Are you pursuing wisdom as the principal thing? Not just one of the principal things, the principal thing. And then watch where you're walking, okay? You know, you might say, well, I've got protection. I'm okay. I got this. I got my concealed carry permit, and I'm packing heat, so I can walk down through the most dangerous part of the city, and I don't have a problem. Well, you know, maybe, but there might be three guys with a bigger gun than you got. You know what? You don't put yourself in a ridiculous situation, and just because wisdom protects, you better watch where you're walking. Watch where you're walking. Avoid the evil path. Verses 14 to 17. He says notice in verse 11, "I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path." What does that bring us back to? Choice. Choice. So in verses 14 to 17, he says, "Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil." And then as you go from verses 18 to 27, we read in verse 18 that the path of the just is like the shining sun. The shining sun. And he goes on to speak about that way. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Are you under the protection of wisdom? What are you pursuing? Are you watching where you're walking? Are you going through the motions enough to get to the meeting, but not watching your daily walk? And how can wisdom protect others through you? God wants to use you. You see, there's somebody following you. And whatever path you're walking, there's somebody walking behind you, and they're learning from you, and they're taking you as a role model. Are you leading them in the path of the wicked, or are you leading them in the path of the just? How are you walking? Wisdom does. It warns, it delivers, it blesses, it protects. So I ask you, is wisdom active in your life? Are you listening and responding? Are you treasuring and searching? Are you trusting God and resisting evil? Are you watching your pursuit and your walk? Wisdom does. May wisdom do all of these things in our lives. May we be open to the wisdom of God. I encourage you to go back to these chapters and be encouraged, be challenged. Today is the third, right? We read chapter 3 today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Wisdom. I trust that we will all grow in wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much tonight. It's been a joy to be with these saints, to come together and to experience with one another the joy that comes only from you as we sing songs of praise and testimony. Lord, as we pray together, as we look into your word, and we're challenged, Lord, by wisdom calling out to us. Father, we pray that we will be humble before you, that we will not think of ourselves more highly than we should, but we would seek to continue to grow. Thank you for the growth that we've experienced. Thank you for the wisdom that we've gained. Lord, may we be careful not to move away from that right path that you have laid out for us in your word. Thank you that we have one another. Lord, I thank you for the many believers in this room that are an encouragement to me, an example to me, and we pray that that might be true of all of us, to one another as well as to others, particularly those who were younger. Father, might we be a great example of wisdom doing, and Father, do through our lives these things in the lives of others. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love for us, and we pray in the name of your Son who made it all possible, the embodiment of wisdom himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. May the Lord bless you, and may you have a wise week.